Amen? A child of God is one who's led by the Spirit of God. Let me say it again. A child of God is one who's led by a Spirit of God. A child of God is not one who says, I'm a child of God. How do I know I'm being led by the Spirit? Because there will be fruit of it, your life. Part of the fruit of that is the freedom that you have gained, but you have chose to become a bondservant of Jesus Christ, which means you gave your life back to him. When he gave you his life to you, you turned around and gave your life back to him and said, not my will, but your will be done. I live my life for you, not for me. Does that mean I can't do the things I want to do? In some cases, yes. Hate to tell you this. It's tough. That's why he said, when you make that choice and you choose what path you're going to take, no, there's a cost to it. If there's no cost to our walking with Christ, then how can we say we're walking with Christ when he said, count the cost before you begin the journey? It's reality, brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to put a bummer on your life or make a bummer out of it. Oh, man, I don't want to do what I want. No. You have your choice. When Ananias and Sapphira came before Peter and they bought the offering, remember they sold their land and they bought the offering. And he said, here, this is what we got for the land. Peter looked and said, why'd you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why'd you lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, it was Peter there. But he was bringing this offering to him. He said, why'd you lie to the Holy Spirit? And he said this to him. Don't you know that while you had it, it was yours to do with whatever you wanted to do? You didn't have to bring that in to lie to me. Your life is yours. Your life is yours to do with as you please. Don't let anybody, like Diane said, don't let anybody bring you into bondage. Don't let anybody tell you you have to do this or you got to do that. You got to be here. You got to go there. Don't ever do that. Jesus gave you the freedom to choose the path that you take. And it's very clear, that path. It's very clear. We got another one here. They're very clear. Amen. I'm serious. The path is lit by the power of God's electrical company called the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the power. He's the power. He said, they told the apostles, Jesus said, don't leave the upper room. Don't leave until the power is turned on. They sat up in the dark for 40 days. And all of a sudden, the day of Pentecost came. And God turned the switch, turned the power on. And it said that flames like fire came off their heads as they sat there. Something happened. Something changed dramatically. When you were born again, the power of the living God came and went into your heart and took out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. When you were born again, the power to have that abundant life is in you and with you. But you choose whether to have the power affecting your life or not. We all do. And it's not we make that choice monthly or yearly. We make it every moment of every day. Every choice you make, you should pray and ask the Holy Spirit, is this your guidance? Is your leading? Are you moving me? Are you directing me? You mean even if I go down the store? Whenever I get in my car, I pray for God's blessing of being provision, of protection, guidance. Why? I don't want to go any place without him. You understand? There's nothing out there that entices me to go where he's not and do where he's not. I want him. But it's our choice to make. So as we study about the Holy Spirit, I hope and pray that you're never put into bondage. Because each one of us here, sitting here right now, will give an account when we stand before the Master. Every one of us. And you'll stand alone. You understand? Diane can't make an excuse. Say, well, Dave didn't. I can't make an excuse. Well, Diane wouldn't let me. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes. Kitty, go ahead. All right.
I write. I have set you free, my Holy Spirit. This is a song. It doesn't have music yet. I have set you free. My Holy Spirit is within. You've been forgiven, no longer bound in sin. You are now in Jesus, and he who is in Jesus is free indeed. Come worship me freely. Lift your holy hands. Sing, dance before me. Free, free, shake off those bands. You are now in Jesus, and he who is in Jesus is free.
Hallelujah.
Is free indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that freedom was purchased for you. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to cry out for it. All you have to do is receive it. And God has already done it. And if you've been born again, he came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver those who were bound. That's what he came for. And that's what he did. Amen? Now, having received that freedom, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me into John 16. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for your grace. I pray, Father, that the word that is spoken here is your word, not ours. I pray, Father, that you deliver us into this position where you may be glorified and we may be edified, because we truly need more of your presence, more of your anointing, more of your grace, more of your mercy, more of your love. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. In John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Jesus came to give us abundant life. Amen. The enemy has turned it and made the abundant life as something that how much stuff we have. How much stuff do we have we accrued. But that isn't the abundant life he meant. The abundant life he meant was the peace and the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Because when you have peace, you got everything. Look at the world today. The one thing that's lacking in the whole world, I don't care where you are, Middle East, Europe, America, wherever it is, lack of peace. And everybody thinks, if I just get my will across, I'll have peace. No, you won't. Because your will changes. Joy. Where do you get joy from? What brings you joy? The Yankees? The Giants? Not hardly. How about the Mets? Not really. Where do you get your joy from? Where do you get your joy from? A good meal? Driving a fast car? Where's our joy come from? Momentary happiness. Listen, joy is eternal. You understand? Joy is eternal. So if you're not feeling joy all the time, if you only feel joy in certain circumstances, it's not from God. It's a manufactured lie. Because when the joy comes from God, it doesn't matter whether you have or have not, whether you're there or there, whether you're up there or down here, it's joy. The joy is the knowledge and the power of the kingdom of God in your life. And the kingdom of God is only operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. righteousness. It says in the Holy Ghost, all of these things are coming at us. All of those things are available to us. Righteousness is just being in right standing with God. In other words, you have no doubt that when you pray and ask God for something, it's coming. It's no doubt whatsoever. Matter of fact, the moment you ask for it, you got it. Right? When Jesus prayed to the Father, did he ever say no to Jesus? Anybody know that at a time when he said no to Jesus? Matter of fact, even when he was in the garden, Jesus chose the path he took because he said, not my will, but your will be done. He chose the path. Jesus chose the cross. Jesus chose the death. He gave up everything for his Father. So everything he did was to please his Heavenly Father. Everything. As we talked about, I think, last Sunday a little bit, is our life about pleasing him or pleasing us? Are we going to him to get our pleasure, or are we to be a pleasure for him? That was Ephesians 1:11. I made a mistake by that scripture. I said John, but it was Ephesians 1:11. You were created for his good pleasure. Think about that. He wasn't created for ours. He was created. We were created for his good pleasure. So your purpose in life is to bring pleasure to God. Whew. Amen? You have a child. Doesn't the child bring you pleasure? Do you want a child if it doesn't bring you pleasure? No, you don't want a child that doesn't bring you pleasure. You have a child, maybe at times doesn't bring you pleasure. But that's not your will. You're much happier if that child brings you pleasure. Is that not true? Don't you think our Heavenly Father is the same way? If you bring him pleasure, you can ask him for anything, and he'll do it. Because you know you're asking to please him. You're not asking to please yourself. Don't you know it pleases the Father when you are blessed in this life? God wants you to be blessed, but he doesn't want the blessing to become a curse. It becomes a curse when the blessing becomes more important than the blessee or the blesser. Amen? And many times, the church is more interested in the blessing than the one who blesses. But, just like the nation of Israel, when the blessing started coming, they turned away from God and followed the blessing. Until they got in a mess, they cried out to God. God brought them back. But the sad part of it is they had to get into a mess before they got God back into their lives. We don't want that. He said, if you will walk in the Spirit, that means if you're more concerned about pleasing your Heavenly Father than you are pleasing about self, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just me, what's the lust? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. In other words, you see something, I got to have it. That's what happens today in America. That's why credit cards are all out there. That's why everybody's in debt up to their ears. That's why people got to work till they're 99 years old because they can't afford to retire. Because every time they saw something, they wanted it and they went after it. And the Bible tells us when you're in debt, what? You become a slave to the one you're in debt to. Which means once we get out of bondage, we get out of debt. You ever notice that? You get out of debt on your credit card, that somehow you seem to go right back into it. Just like the nation of Israel, they always wanted to go back to Egypt. Because if we're not being led by the Spirit, we will naturally go back to the old ways of living life. No, you're just against me having something. It has nothing to do with me. Jesus came to set you free from the bondages of debt, of sickness, of just depression and oppression and all the ugly things of life. He wants you to be able to enjoy life here. The greatest thrill, now I won't say the greatest thrill is when you get born again. One of the greatest thrills is when you owe no man anything except to love them. We're getting close here. July. We owe no man after July. Just this ministry debt free. Think about that. Once you're out of debt and owe no man anything except to love him, you're no longer a slave to that. That's freedom. That's true freedom. But once you're free, don't go back into it. Amen? Use wisdom. Yeah, but then I gotta wait to get what you desire. There's something in the scripture that says through faith and patience. So let's start operating in faith with some patience. You might see what your heart's desire has come to pass without you having to go into debt for it. Yeah, but I want it now. It's the most amazing thing. You watch TV, you see these advertisements of all these stupid gadgets that come on TV. We'll look at that and we'll say, boy, that looks interesting. I think I'd like to have one of those. So we've learned something. Wait, patience, because it comes into the gathering place. We buy for a dollar what they're charging $19.99 for on the TV. Think I'm kidding you? Oh, absolutely. Through faith and patience. Well, that's good for that, but, you know, I want... Now you have to ask yourself, does God want you to have... Because he may not. Have you ever stopped to ask him, is it all right if I do this? Is it all right if I buy that? Is it all right if I go into debt for that? Last summer, Diane and I were talking. Our cars are getting up there. Diane's got over 100,000. I've got over almost 200,000 on mine. So I'm mowing the lawn, and I said, Lord, shall we buy a car? He said one word, wait. We're still waiting. Guess what? I have no car payments whatsoever. Haven't had them for years. That's freedom. Amen? Now, am I bragging? No. Praise God. It's by God's grace that we have what we have. But I'm not ashamed to drive a car that has 200,000 miles. I don't need a new car. I don't impress anybody with a new car. Don't impress them with the old car either, but that's beside the point. I'm not looking to. Amen? I remember Pastor Summerall. You remember him? He's home with the Lord. Yeah, he's home with the Lord. But one day he picked somebody up. He was coming to speak at his church. He's driving along, and just the car was falling apart. Not falling apart. I mean, it was good, but just an old car. And the guy says, how come you don't get a new car? I don't need a new car. I'm fine where I'm at. That's the way I feel. I don't need a new car. There was a time I used to love being in a little sports car. I mean, a little fun, had a lot of fun. But I don't need that. I used to have those things to make me happy and give me joy and do all the things I wanted to do. And I found out when I wrapped it around the telephone pole, it didn't matter. I did. Those things don't or aren't my life. My life is hidden Christ. And there's coming a time that when I stand before him, I want to stand before him unashamed. I don't want to stand there and, I got enough to deal with the sin that I keep falling, messing up into. And God just keeps being merciful and gracious. And he has delivered me out of it. But I can't see living my life to please this flesh. Even though I look like I allow it to overcome me at times, and I do. By the grace of God, Paul said it. He said, you know, I've learned to put my flesh into bondage. He said, I would cause it to stop. He said, when it wanted to go after something, he said, I would stop it. And that's the battle sometimes we all make. It's to fight the flesh so the Spirit can have his way. Amen? All right. Enough. 16, John 16. Verse 7 says, nevertheless, Jesus is speaking to his apostles now. Well, let's start in verse 5. Why not? But now I go away to him, meaning God, who sent me. Hallelujah. So Jesus came from the Father. He's going home to the Father. When Jesus was in heaven, before he came to earth, he didn't have a body. We all know that, right? He was the Spirit. He was the Word of God. The Word is what? Spirit and life, right? He didn't get a body till he came to earth. Because a spirit can't live on earth without a body. Okay. Amen? So Jesus came to earth, took on the form of man. He said, the Word became flesh. The Word is Spirit, and the Word is life. Right? Now, Jesus is returning to the Father. But he's going back with a body. When you see him there, you will see him with a body. Flesh and bones. You'll see him. The blood, he'd already presented to the Father. So he doesn't have blood. When and if we go by the way of the rapture, we will go into heaven with a glorified body. Our spirit, our soul, which is will, emotions, feelings, knowledge that we have gained, will be drawn up together with a body. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, your body will be transformed from the corruptible to the incorruptible. You will be a glorified body. And you'll be able to enter into heaven with a glorified body. If we go by the way of the grave, praise God, we don't know. But if we do, your spirit and soul will come up out of that body at the point of death. And in the moment, he said, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So we are then up there with him. And spirit and soul are up in heaven. Right? And then he comes back. And when he comes back for the rapture, he said the dead in Christ will rise first. That means your body will come up out of the grave. Your soul and your spirit will enter into that body. It'll be a glorified body. Listen, even if it's all rotted flesh while it's down there, it's not going to stay that way. If God created you in the first place, he can recreate you in the second place. If you were born in the first place, he can make sure that you're born again in the second place. How can he do these things? By the Spirit of the living God and the Word of God. He said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will what? Quicken your mortal bodies. That means it'll bring life to those bodies that once were dead. Hallelujah. We see example of that when Lazarus was called up out of the grave. Had been dead 4 days. Jesus was able. Why was he able? Because he is what? The resurrection. Amen? That's what he said. I'm the resurrection. All right. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Of course, Jesus was leaving. Everything they believed, we talked about this last week, everything. They gave up their whole life to follow Jesus, the man. Amen? And now they're sorrowful because he's dying and he's leaving them. Glory to God. Thank God he did. Thank you, Jesus, he did. Now, can you imagine trying to stay faithful to God if Jesus had stayed here on earth in the grave? How many would be sitting in this church right now? Would any? A church without the Spirit of God is nothing more than a dead man's tomb or a white-walled sepulcher filled with dead man's bones. A church without the Spirit of God is nothing more than an empty suit. A social club. What distinguishes the church from every other, the body of Christ, let me put it that way, than anything else, no matter where it comes in, what religion it is, whatever it comes out, the one distinguishing factor is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Without that, you're nothing more than a religious cult. How important is he? Remember what I said at the beginning of this. What value have you placed on this relationship with the Holy Spirit? What value have you placed on it? Is it value number one? So you wake up in the morning and you think about the Holy Spirit and you go to bed at night and the last thought is the Holy Spirit? Or is it somewhere down the line past that? Do we consider him when making decisions on everyday life? Or do we just think about him on Sunday morning when we have to go to church, or maybe Wednesday night, or when we do some worship? What do we do? What value do we place on having a relationship? Let me ask you this. If you're married or engaged, what value do you put on the person you're trying to have a relationship with? Now let me ask you this. If you see somebody standing out there that you don't know, compared the relationship and the value of the relationship of the one that you are connected to by love and the one you don't know, is it the same value you put on the relationship? Or is it different? Right? Now, I hope, as much as I love the sister in this, the sisters in this place, is not the same value I have for my love for my wife. It's a different love. It's a filial love. So I ask you a question. Is there a greater value I place on my relationship with her than with... I hope so. And I hope you would hope so. Amen? What happens when you have no value on her? Yeah, it does fall apart. But I'm intended to go commit adultery. Yeah, I heard that. She said I was dead meat if I did. She said it low enough nobody else heard it. But you know, now get what I'm saying to you. If I don't place a high value on this relationship, I will commit adultery. What stopped me from committing adultery? Now listen to me. You say, well, I would never do that. Never say never. Take heed to those who think they stand, lest they fall, and the fall is great. What keeps me faithful to her is the value I put on our relationship. Okay? The Bible tells us that when we love the world and the things of this world, we are committing adultery on God. Because we put a higher value on that than our relationship with him. Amen. So, how do I reevaluate? And we all know inside of us, even before, and trust me, before I got saved, I did not think that adultery was something I would do. You understand that? It wasn't something I would look for, and I could tell you stories. I'm not going to get into them. But when I was with someone, I got to say it the right way, I was faithful. You understand? Now, and I'm not, I know, I'm trying to be nice. But when somebody says to me, I can go this way with it. Thank you, Lord. When somebody says to me, I don't want a faithful relationship with you, I just want something in name only, then I'm likely going to go away. Understand? But when the other person is reciprocal and they want to have a relationship with me the same way, then I'm going to make sure my connection and I keep that relationship strong. If I want it, and I do. The Holy Spirit's no different. When you have no desire to have a strong relationship with you, He'll let you go your way. It's only when you have the same desire in your heart that He has for you. If you look in the bulletin this week, you'll see the value God has placed on you through a few scriptures. But if you have not the same value in your heart for Him, He'll allow you to drift away. In the vernacular of Christendom, we call it backsliding. You can be sitting in church, every time the church door is open, and still be backsliding. Backsliding means that you've slid away from the very presence that has kept you from the beginning of the Holy Spirit. Smile. I'm not talking about any of you guys. You're all right. Let me finish this. He said, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Jesus understood what He was saying to them. He knew. This morning, maybe what I'm saying kind of fills your heart with sorrow a little bit. Hopefully it makes you stop and consider your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we're not even beginning into that yet. We're just on the outskirts looking to see how we are walking, whether walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh. It's important because we started this whole thing on building your house. When the storms come, that you cannot be moved. Not on sifting sands, but on the rock. The anchor of that house is the Holy Spirit who will keep you in place. Without the Holy Spirit, you're liable to move any place. He is the one who came to actually do the work that Jesus promised. When He said, the Spirit of God is upon me because He has anointed me. When He said that, He knew that it was the Holy Spirit who was going to come and do the work He proclaimed was going to be done. He already knew the Holy Spirit was going to do the work. Because there's no way Jesus is still on this earth doing it right now. I told you, when you get to heaven, you're going to see Him in His body with the scars in His hands and His feet. You'll see Him as He is in all His glory, but yet still with the power of the man in heaven. But yet He is still working here in each believer. And with each believer. through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what he goes on to say. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is truth. What did we say? You heard the word, freedom. Truth will set you free. Free from what? The bondages of the flesh, the power of Satan, and the world, and all its enticements. Look, I'm not saying you can't have things or do things. I'm not saying that. But don't let those things be the reason you get up in the morning. Don't let those things be what you're concerned about when you lay your head down at night to go to sleep. Because those things will keep you awake. Don't look forward to something in this world. Look forward to coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let that be your encouragement. Let that be your excitement. Let that be your expectation. Well, you just don't know. Look, I can't speak for everyone. If you're caught up in that and all you can think about is how to get more of this world and the things of this world, all we can do is pray with you and hope and pray that somehow God can open your eyes to see the truth. Stop telling others what they need to do and start doing what God told you to do. You understand what I'm saying? We all. I'm talking about an abundant life, a life filled with joy, with peace, with knowing that you have a God who loved you and gave his life for you. And he would give, if he would give Jesus for you, he'd give you anything you desire. That's God's way. Look what he says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Praise God. It's better that I go away. I remember one time when somebody couldn't understand why Jesus had to go to the cross. And they were all bummed out because he had to endure what he endured. I said, if he didn't, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be here. And if he didn't, you will. Because you're going to pay the penalty for that sin. And hell's filled with people paying the price for that sin that Jesus wanted to give them. The opportunity to be free from. Hallelujah. It's an advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper or the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you left. Thank you, Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus left this earth and sent back the Helper, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. And in him sending him back here, he's still here today. And because he's here, we're going to see all the work that the Holy Spirit has done. But the one thing that you can remember this, if you have the Spirit of God, then it has sealed you until the day of redemption. When you will stand before your God, your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not yours, but the Holy Spirit of God, has entered into you, into your heart, and sealed it, and said, this belongs to God. The seal he's talking about was like a signet ring the kings used to use. And they take that ring. Sometimes it would be maybe something like this, a seal like this, and they just take it, dip it in, and hot wax would be poured on the thing, and that seal would be there, and it'd say, this is belongs to the king. You have that seal. But it doesn't guarantee you the life he wants you to have here. It can guarantee you an entrance into the kingdom of God when you get to heaven. But it doesn't guarantee you the abundant life he wants for your life down here. Amen? But it can. And if we will allow him, it will. If we get to know him, it can and it will. Hallelujah. Two scriptures I'm going to give you, and then we're going to close for today. In John 15:26, says this, But when the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I shall send. Notice who's sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Amen. I shall send him to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. Amen. He will testify of me. Holy Spirit is coming to give witness that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born of man, died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, rose on the third day. How do you think you finally came to the conclusion that was truth? You thought it was you? That was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he came to convict them of their sin. What happens when you're convicted of your sin is you recognize you need a Savior. Who's the Savior? The Holy Spirit reveals. Jesus. You remember I told you the story about when I came home one night, got out of the car, I looked up at the sky and saw the stars and the moon. I looked up and I was drunk and I was coming home. And I looked up there and I said, there's got to be more to life than this. I didn't know what it was. I didn't think about Jesus then. I didn't think even about God. All I knew, there had to be more than this. I couldn't figure it out. And I had pretty much what I wanted in this life at that time. What made me think there was something more to life? It wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit of God working in my life. That same Spirit at work today. I guarantee you right now, the same Spirit is speaking to somebody in this place right now. And you're making a choice whether to listen to that voice or to ignore it. Hallelujah. In John 16 again, verse 8, I'm going to start there. And when he has come, meaning the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He's talking about the apostles who spent 3.5 years walking with this. With Jesus. Lived with him for 3.5 years. He said, I still have things I want to reveal to you. I can't do it. Because you won't receive them right now. Now let's go on. Why not? Why couldn't they receive it? Because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. At this point in their walk, they did not have the Spirit of God in them. It wasn't until you go into chapter 20 of John, verse 22, it says Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's the moment they got born again. Then later on, he told them to go wait in the upper room for the power to come on from on high. That's when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in power. Jesus did nothing in ministry until he was baptized by John, and it says the Spirit of God came upon him for the work he was called to do. Hallelujah. Let me go on here. However, so he says, listen, I can't tell you these things right now because you can't bear them. However, when he, meaning the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Praise God. Think back on your life. Think back on your life. If you had received information about what not to do or what to do, would you have changed your life? What the Holy Spirit of God had revealed to you, what was to come, would you have stopped what you were doing at that point and changed directions? Now, some people I know are thinking right now, well, I wouldn't. I like the outcome. All things work together for good to who love God and called according to a purpose. Yes, God can take a lump of clay and make something beautiful out of it. He can take a mess and bring a party. Amen? But it's not the ideal situation. Ideal situation is, let's not get into the mess. That's better. You understand what I'm saying? I've made a lot of messes. I still have after I got saved. But the more I walk in the Spirit, the less of the mess that's apparent. Hallelujah. Okay. Listen. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Glory to God. I want to say this to you because, and we're going to close here. There may come a time when you want to think about doing something like this. Ask Jesus how he sees.